Welcome, everyone, to the Four Investors Podcast, where Wall Street meets Main Street. I'm Andrew Gay, along with Gilbert Pies, and we are the Texas Hill Country Advisors, independent financial advisors based in the beautiful Texas Hill Country. We discuss the latest from financial markets, the economy, and general investor education. We help you cut through all the Wall Street noise and focus on what's really important for you and your financial future. Thank you guys for joining us. It is Friday, April 19th. We are past the first quarter of 2024. The markets have had an interesting first quarter, to say the least. Still, the stock market anyway here in the U.S. is still holding on to some gains. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ are trying to stay positive year to date, but they've been showing some weakness in the last couple of weeks, mainly because higher than expected inflation readings, right? But that's not what we're here to talk about today. We got a couple of things that we want to discuss, three actually, that we're going to run over today that might be top of mind for investors right now because of the recent volatility that's been showing up in the stock market. So if you're doing things like checking your 401k accounts, your retirement accounts, or you just have general investing accounts, you might be wondering what's causing some of the volatility. And we're going to give you three things that we think are the biggest three mistakes that we see investors make most commonly. And maybe that's something you want to put into your wheelhouse and just your thought process right now, since we are seeing some extra volatility kick up in the financial markets.
And yeah, basically don't make these three common mistakes that a lot of other investors do.
Yeah. And I think this stuff is helpful because, you know, yesterday, right, I do the fitness thing, I work out and all that kind of stuff. But I found myself yesterday, I spent probably 20 or 30 minutes listening to a video of a guy that I follow online that is verified. He's not just some internet guru guy. He's got credentials. He's got experience, all that stuff. And it's very helpful for me to listen to someone like that go over the basics of what, and this one in particular was what intermediate people that are training. I don't know what you call it, intermediate fitness people, I guess, the big mistakes that they make. And it was as much as I thought I've known and picked up over the years, because I've lived in a gym basically outside of work since, you know, before college, there was still a lot of stuff on there that I didn't know or hadn't thought about in a certain way. And it was nice to hear that. So hopefully we can do justice by giving that kind of information to you guys today as investors. Okay, so let's name all three of them off the top. What we're going to cover today, number one is investors trying to time the markets. Number two mistake would be assuming that today's negative headlines make it a bad time to invest. And then finally, three is focusing too much on the short term. So let's kick it right off by talking about number one, that is trying to time the markets. This is one of my favorite topics to talk about with clients, prospects, people in the public that I run across that want to have a financial conversation with us. I love talking about this because it's so eye-opening if you haven't looked at this data before. But the gist of it is that when we know that markets go up, they go down, right? And sometimes it's really tough for us as investors to kind of stay invested during bear markets or down markets, right? You think about 08, you think about what happened during COVID, some of the economic shock and the unexpected, you know, uncertainty that was thrown into markets. And then, you know, 2022, where stocks and bonds went down at the same time. Some of those situations or time periods are daunting to investors because you're looking at possibly your entire retirement savings, you know, real money to you. It's unnerving to see that kind of drop in value for something that is so near and dear to your heart. So anyway, so it's really tough to stay invested during those time periods. But that is the gist of this idea, is trying to time the market, because what do we want to do when things start to get bad?
The first thing people do is panic.
They panic and they want to get their money out, right? They're going to get out before it gets any worse. The problem with that is because we don't know when the good days are going to happen. Usually happen not too long after some of the worst days, right? So if you've hit the eject button and you have gotten your money out of the market and not invested any longer, chances rise that you will miss some of those good days, and they can put a big dent in your overall return. For example, we're using a piece by our friends at Capital Group to discuss some of this. They actually have this as a visual aid, but we like it. We talk about it a lot. So we just wanted to use it as kind of a reference. If you put, this is hypothetical, but it's $10,000 into the S&P. This is not a product. This is not a specific company's fund or anything like that. This is just talking about the S&P 500. On July 1st, 2013, and held it for 10 years, okay? Your total return by the end of the 10-year period, if you missed, well, let's put it this way. If you stayed invested for the entire period, you'd have about $27,248. That's just the S&P reinvesting, you know, interest and or dividends that get kicked off from that. If you miss just the 10 best days, all right, your total investment at the end of that 10-year period almost drops in half. So you're left with about $14,922, okay? Almost, your return is almost cut completely in half by missing 10 days in a 10-year period. I don't know about you and how you feel about that, but that is quite eye-opening to me.
For sure.
You know, because it seems to me that it would be very likely that if I was trying to time the market and take my money out because I'm panicking, you know, the chances that I miss one of those best 10 days seem pretty high.
Wow. Like,
it's only 10 days in 10 years. All right. What else you got to add to that mistake?
You know, I think it's not only timing in terms of getting out of the market and making sure that you get the best days, but it's also, I think, when it comes to investing in the market, what happens a lot of times is people approach us and say, "Hey, listen, I have some money to invest. When's a good time to do it?" And frankly, it's a really difficult question to answer because depending on the investor, it could be now, it could be never, it could be in a couple of weeks, but it's very difficult to answer a timing question like that because frankly, we don't know. So
nobody knows.
Nobody
right?
knows exactly. So if you're waiting for an ideal time to get into the market, you're waiting for a dip or something like that, it's kind of foolish to try to time when the best time is to get into it because the market's going to go up, the market's going to go down, and it never fails. As soon as you buy something, the price goes down. It always happens. But guess what? If you wait because you want the price to go down, many times it doesn't. It's so frustrating. I've seen it time and time again over the years in this business that people are waiting, quote unquote, for the right time. There's no such thing. If you're worried about exposing your principal that you're going to invest to a downturn from day one, then there's strategies that you can utilize or that we can help you implement to minimize that impact. Dollar cost averaging, systematic investment yes. plans. There's some things that we can do to help you mitigate that potential risk if you put in a relatively large piece of money to work up front in one chunk. It's not unheard of to just go ahead and do it. If you're going to do it, do it. But right. for some people that are a little hesitant, there's things that we can do to help you minimize that risk. Because there is a risk when you put in a significant chunk of money into an investment all in one shot.
Right. And I think there's one saying that we know well in our industry, in our world, that sums up this number one mistake about trying to time the markets very well. And I think that is time in the market is usually always better than trying to time the market, right?
Right.
Time in the market. So the amount of time that you stay invested overall is way more important than when you get in or out. And that sets up a great segue into our second most common mistake that we think investors make and that we see around here is assuming that today's negative headlines make it a bad time to invest because it's real easy to fall victim to the idea that things are different now. And whatever fear that I'm feeling now, whether it's, you know, right now is a great example, I think, of this point in time where we have geopolitical stuff across the globe. You'll hear people talk about they're scared of World War III. You know, there's
presidential election.
Interest rates being at the highest level they've been at in decades. You know, we're in uncharted territory as far as the financial markets go. I mean, there's plenty of stuff that's doom and gloom and fear-based out there that you could chalk up as to a reason to wait, just like you were talking about. When's a good time? Well, now. It's now because time in the market is usually always greater than trying to time the market. So the quicker you can get those dollars invested, the more time in the market you're racking up, the better off you're probably going to be as a long-term investor. So I have a couple of examples I was just going to run through, or a couple of points I was going to use here. And this is same straight off the same visual aid that I just referenced from Capital Group. So if you look at the Pearl Harbor bombing, okay, December 7th, 1941, this is same thing. This is, we're not talking about any products or any specific funds or anything like that. We are literally talking about the S&P 500 index, okay? So if you had $1,000 and it would have invested in that S&P 500 index on, you know, December 7th, 1941, 10 years later, you would have had $44,855. That's a 16.2% annual return. If you fast forward to, this data is as of the middle of 2023, so June 30th of 2023, it would have grown to $78 million and change with 11.6% return.
And wow.
I mean, can you imagine the day Pearl Harbor was bombed? And we think about, you think about the geopolitical stuff we got going on in the Middle East with Israel and then Russia, Ukraine, and all that. I mean, this is literally the U.S. being bombed.
And all the things that have happened since then.
Gosh, yeah. So, I mean, I can't fathom trying to think about what it would be like to be an investor during that time period. Because, I mean, if there's anything that ever would have freaked you out as an investor, the United States of America having bombs dropped on it and being sabotaged or attacked by another nation, you would think that'd be pretty, that'd be up there towards the top. So that's one. How about President Kennedy being assassinated? That was a really big deal. November 22nd, 1993, same thing, $10,000 just in the S&P 500. 10 years later, would have grown to $19,729, with, that's about almost 7% annualized return on the nose. As of June 30th, 2023, would have been about $3.6 million, and that's a 10.4% annualized return. And that, once again, this is an assassination, successful assassination attempt on the president of the United States at a time period in our country that was up in, you know, up in arms about all kinds of stuff, right? There was a highly profiled few years there in the U.S. So, and then last one, we'll look at, how about 2008? Lehman Brothers declares bankruptcy. This is like, you want to talk about that a little bit?
No.
Because it was such a big financial institution that people that knew their name and knew what kind of size that they were. And then to hear that they're declaring bankruptcy. And if you've seen the film, The Big Short, there's a iconic scene in there where there's a room full of, it's like a theater room full of all these financial guys. And one of the Lehman Brothers guys is up there talking. And I think it's Lehman Brothers. It's either Bear Stearns or Lehman Brothers. But either way, the point is you got this head of the institution up there at the front of the room and all these guys are talking. And as they're in this room, the stock is just nosediving because the word gets out that, you know, they're, what's happening in financial markets, in particular Lehman Brothers, is they're probably going to be insolvent. Anyway, just, it was a really big deal. But if you would have invested that $10,000 in the S&P 500 September 15th, 2008, when they declared bankruptcy, Lehman Brothers did, you'd have 10 years later, $30,193. That's 11.7% annualized return. As of June 30th, 2023, that would have grown to $50,257. That's 11.5% annualized return. I mean, what, you know, I don't know what else you can say other than looking at some of this stuff and just saying, listen, over the long term, it's up and to the right for the markets. If you look at it over the longer term, versus a shorter term, which is a setup for our next mistake. That's the third most common mistake I think that investors make, but pretty clear in my mind.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So what else do you have to add to that?
Well, I would just say too that there's never an ideal time to invest because there's always 100 reasons not to get into the market.
Right.
Always, whether it's interest rates, the job outlook, the economy, a recession, geopolitical events, an election. There's 100 reasons not to do it. But I think if people sit there and wait for that right time, it'll never happen.
Right.
So I would submit to you that in addition to not timing the market, not waiting for the quote unquote ideal time, because there isn't one. There's no such thing. I'll never forget that when I started my son's 529 account, he was born in November of 2008. And we all know what was going on in November of 2008. It was a really bad time in the world, in the U.S. in particular. We were going through the financial crisis. It was tough. I was very worried about bringing in a new life into this world. But guess what? That kid was coming whether I wanted him to or not. And I figured that if things work out well, I should start saving for him. And I have been. And it's turned out very, very nicely because we have a college savings fund for him that we wouldn't have had otherwise. And it's grown substantially.
Yeah, way over and above the amount of money that you've actually put in.
Way over and above. Yes, yes. I can't quote numbers here, but I can assure you that it's done very well. He's going to have options and choices when he turns 18. But for the meantime, just rocking along.
Yeah.
And so I knew that in spite of all the negative headlines, it was a good time to get in the market because nobody else wanted to, and I could pick up a bunch of nice investments for a relatively cheap price.
Right. And you know, I think that's a key point too, that we didn't really mention yet, is that, you know, a lot of times when markets do contract, that is and are going down and people are very pessimistic, a lot of times that could be looked at as a good opportunity for investors that are looking to get money invested into the market.
Sure. When should you buy, quote unquote, those things that you need? When they're on sale.
Right.
And you can look at a dip in the stock market or the equity markets as a sale. It's companies that are probably going to be around for a long period of time who, for whatever reason, are temporarily going through a downturn. And because stock prices should be a reflection of expected future earnings of a stock, if they're going to be expected to make less money, well, guess what? The stock price goes down. But it's just a temporary time issue that if you give it enough time, they should be able to recover, which is probably a good segue to our next.
It is
third item.
And I think Warren Buffett always says, you know, be fearful when others are greedy and be greedy when others are fearful. And I think that captures kind of what we're looking at there for the second mistake. So finally, moving on, number three, third and final, most common mistake that we think investors make, and that is focusing too much on the short term. Now, it's going to be hard to talk about this because, and frankly, some of this is a lot more easily digested by looking at visual aids, but we're doing the best that we can here with words to try to describe this for you guys. But imagine you have two charts over the same time period, but one has a dot for every time, for every month, okay, in a year, right? And we're looking at something that moves up and down like markets. Well, there's going to be a lot more dots, right, than if you just plotted where that number was or had moved to on a year-over-year basis, right? And because you're plotting more dots and more often checking in on what the value is doing and how it's moving around, you end up with this chart that looks more like a heart rate monitor kind of thing. You know, it's up and down and every and zigs and zags and all over the place, right? Because you have a lot of dots, you've plotted a lot of data. If you just did it on a 1 year, year over year basis, all of a sudden it paints a little bit different picture that looks a lot more smooth of a ride. And that's because that right there is the difference between looking at things on the shorter term versus the longer term for an investor. There is plenty of noise in the short term. We talk about that day in, day out here. You know, right now is also a good example, I think, of that, where we got the Fed talking about when they're going to cut interest rates. And 2 months ago, they thought it was coming in earlier this year, and then it got pushed back to June. And now it's looking like we might not even see them until the fall, if we even see them at all this year. And it's like just in a couple of months, things have changed dramatically from the expectations around where we're at economically and what's happening in financial markets. And you know, we also talked about this article from Jason Zweig in the Wall Street Journal not all that long ago, and he took a hiatus and left for, I don't remember what it was, something like 8 months or a year. And it was right in the heart of when the Fed was in the middle of their interest rate hiking cycle. And then he came back and he said, this is what everybody was talking about and what everybody was obsessed about when I left. And when was the Fed going to stop raising interest rates? How high were they going to raise the interest rate level to and all this stuff? And then he comes back and the Fed had stopped hiking interest rates. And it was what he was saying was that the analysts, the economists, us market participants, we were all still obsessed with something related to kind of the same topic, but it just had, the narrative had just shifted a little bit. And what he really said is what he observed was that 9 times out of 10, it seems like it's not the expected that happens in financial markets. It's the unexpected. So it's not usually what people are talking about. Like in his case, what he was saying, what people were talking about when he left, that when the Fed was going to be done hiking interest rates, how, you know, at what level that was going to be at, how that was going to affect financial markets, all this stuff were concerns at the time based on, you know, kind of fear and uncertainty. But what ended up actually happening in reality wasn't any of those things. It was totally unexpected. The Fed stopped. They actually raised to a little bit higher level than previously had been anticipated. It took them a little bit longer to stop than what was previously thought. And now here we are again. The Fed has got to what we think is the peak point of their interest rate hiking cycle, and now we're not sure when they're going to cut interest rates. So, you know, all of that uncertainty can be smoothed over by looking at things from a little bit longer term perspective. And that's kind of my rant on that. What do you have to add to that about focusing too much on the short term as a mistake?
Sure. Yeah. I would say this, you know, one day does not make a week. One week does not make a month. One month does not make a year. But if you put them all together, then now we're talking over time. And one of the most important things that we can do as advisors, and one of the most important things I think an individual can do, is learn what their true time frame is. What kind of time horizon do you have to devote to this? If you are thinking about making quote unquote fast money, you're not really an investor, you're a speculator or a trader.
Yeah. Big difference.
Yeah. Huge difference. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a speculator and a short-term day trader. Nothing wrong with that at all, I suppose. But that's not where you're going to really do the most good for yourself over the long term. You Amen. Might do well in the short term, but that's because those types of strategies are meant for short-term investment. If you're talking about a long-term investment, for example, retirement, for most of us, that's a very long-term proposition. If you're setting aside money in a retirement account, that automatically tells you that you're probably focused on the long term. Because guess what? Even if you started saving at 55 and your plan is to retire at 65, unless you plan on dying at 65, you're probably still going to need that money yeah. for a long period of time. And so a lot of people that retire at 65 end up having 20, 25, 30, 35 years of life ahead of them. And in my book, anything longer than 5 years is long term. And so we always emphasize to people to really be truthful with yourself on what kind of objective are you trying to achieve here, and what kind of time horizon do you have. And so if you're focused on something long term, you shouldn't really care what happens in one day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year of your life in the financial markets. You really shouldn't care. Now, Andrew and I, we talk on the show about short-term things that are happening. We talk a lot about the noise that's going on in the market. Right. But we would be the first ones to tell you that what you need to focus on as a true investor is long-term. And one of the main reasons we tell you that is because as financial advisors, we know that we can't really be sure about what's happening in the short term, but we can have a pretty high degree of certainty what's going to happen over the long term. And so that's why we tried to get people to change their focus from looking at just the short term to focus more on the long term. And it's a difficult concept sometimes because, you know, I don't know about you, Andrew, but I know when I was 19 or 20 years old, I wasn't thinking long term. I was thinking next week.
Yeah, but long term to me at that age was like 6 months.
Yes.
I could even look at that.
That's long. Right. I never thought I would. I couldn't even imagine being what 45 or 55 would be like. Well, looky there. I blink my eyes and here I am. I'm 52. And so long term for me has really been emphasized to me the longer I'm in this business, because it's amazing. I can remember the things that I was doing and what I was thinking when I was in my 20s. And I just wish I would have started back then.
Yeah.
It took me a while, but I got started. And once I got started, I haven't looked back. And over the long term, things have worked out very, very well. So yeah. I'm happy for that. And I think most investors would serve themselves very well by focusing on the long term.
Yes. I think that's a wonderful place to stop for today. Thank you guys for tuning in. We really hope that you guys found some of this information helpful or eye-opening, or maybe you got exposed to a new concept or a new way of thinking. We enjoy nerding out on it because we live in it day in and day out. It's what we do for work. We talk daily with this about these kinds of things with people and how it applies to their personal situation. So if you're interested in having a conversation with us, don't hesitate to reach out to us. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. You can reach out to any of our pages and connect with us there. We'd be glad to talk to you about your personal financial situation if you are open to discussing that with us. And I hope you guys have a great weekend. It's Friday here in the Texas Hill Country. We are expecting some rain. Gilbert and I are actually gearing up to do our trash. Well, it's our participation efforts for the trash off for the state of Texas through TxDOT. We own a spot of Adopt a Highway out by Camp Verde. So we're excited to do that tomorrow if it doesn't rain.
And if you see us out there on the road, don't throw anything out the window, please. And don't honk at us because you scare us.
And please drive slow.
Yeah.
We get people hauling rear end down that road.
You got that right.
Beautiful spot of Texas. So we're happy to do it. Help keep our highways clean. Thank you guys so much. Have a good weekend. We'll catch you back here next time. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Next Financial Group, member FINRA SIPC. Texas Hill Country Advisors is not an affiliate of Next Financial Group. This material is not intended as an offer or solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security or other financial instrument. Past performance does not guarantee future performance. All the views expressed are those of Andrew Gay and Gilbert Pies and Texas Hill Country Advisors, and not those of Next Financial Group. The S&P 500 is a market cap-weighted index composed of common stocks of 500 leading companies and leading industries of the U.S. economy. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is a price-weighted index of 30 actively traded blue-chip stocks.